Grace to you. And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, Mary said, saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." This is our text. Today we're observing the feast of Saint Mary, the mother of our Lord. Saints' days go against the culture, against the grain of our American culture. By nature, we don't want anyone to honor anyone else as special or to regard them more highly than ourselves. Even though Scripture teaches us to pay respect to whom respect is owed and honor to whom honor is owed, we find this so difficult to do. From a young age, here at least in our American society, we're taught that everyone belongs on the same level and should be treated alike. No one is better than anyone else. So when we see someone who is more accomplished, richer, more beautiful, more powerful, or more honored, we tend to say, "Who does that person think he is?" Or, "What makes her so special?" We envy such people. We like to put them in their place. We cut them down to size. We diminish them by what we say about them. And we find fault, often true, sometimes imagined, just to bring people down. This has also happened in the church. In Martin Luther's day, there were some radical reformers who went so far as to tear down statues and smash stained glass windows. Their concerns about idolatry led them to get rid of the saints entirely. And that's how it remains today in much of Protestant Christianity. It's the kind of attitude that says, "Who are the saints that they should be remembered and honored? They're just like us, no better." Now, there is a grain of truth to that, of course. Like us, the saints were sinners saved by grace. And like us, God called them to live by faith and to lead godly lives. But what this similarity between us and the saints means is that they can be examples to us. They can be to us as fathers and mothers in the faith, as brothers and sisters, as mentors and guides. So a church without saints isn't richer. In fact, it's poorer. And you know what happens when the saints start getting rocks thrown at them, don't you? The very first person they aim for is Mary, the mother of our Lord. Who does she think she is? Who indeed? We could learn a great deal from Mary, a great deal about who we are, and a great deal about who her son is. We don't know all that much about her. What we hear in Scripture is limited. The Bible tells us nothing about her parents, or about her background, or about her childhood. In fact, it tells us nothing about her apart from her vocation as mother. Everything we hear in the Scriptures about Mary has to do with her being the mother of this son, Jesus Christ. Everything it says about her in some way involves Jesus. Now, when we think about who Mary is, or what Mary thinks about herself, the truth is that Mary certainly doesn't think much of herself. And I mean that in two ways. First, Mary doesn't think too highly of herself. And second, she spends far more time thinking and speaking about God than she spends thinking and speaking about herself. And if we're honest, I think we could admit that's a virtue that all of us could use and learn from. Because we do think far too much of ourselves. Too highly, too poorly, just too often. In the gospel reading, we heard Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And you know what she never once praises? Herself. Her praise is all of God. She knows exactly who she is. She does describe herself in this song. She knows who she is, and she recognizes what God has done for her. his gracious gift to Mary, and the gracious gift that comes through Mary to us. So who is she? Listen to what she says. When the angel comes to Mary and announces that she will be the mother of God, she responds simply by saying, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Well, what's impossible for men is possible for God, and she believes it. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then we hear more about this virgin maidservant in the Magnificat. The song we read for the gospel reading, we'll sing it at the very end of the service as well. Mary identifies herself with those who fear the Lord. She identifies herself with those of humble estate. She identifies herself with the poor and the hungry, with all the people who need a Savior and who depend on the mercy of God and who wait for his promises to be fulfilled. What shines through is her lowliness and her humility. She sees nothing worthy in herself. She sees nothing in herself that deserves what she's been given. She sees nothing in herself that merits God's gracious treatment of her. It is, you could say, this Magnificat, a confession. It is a confession of her need as a sinner, and it is a confession of her Savior, the child who will be born from her own womb. "My soul magnifies the Lord," Mary sings, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What does Mary think of herself? She thinks that she's the mother of God. And that's not being pompous, not in this circumstance, because having heard what God says about her child, Mary simply believes it. "Your child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's an amazing promise. The Savior of the world, Mary's Savior, is there inside her womb. To call Mary the mother of God, in Greek the word is Theotokos, the God-bearer. To call Mary the mother of God, as Christians have done since the beginning, isn't so much about Mary as it is about Jesus. It is to confess that Jesus, Mary's son, is true God. Knowing who she is helps us to know and get right who her son is. What would it mean if we were just to call Mary a normal, average mother? We would be saying that her child is no different than you or me. But he is. He is the very Son of God, come down in human flesh. And this is the reason that all generations will call her blessed, because of the one that she bears. And what of her son? The Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, tells us, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Faith values Christ's person because he made himself under the law for us. Under all of the law of God and the law written on our hearts. By being born of Mary, he submitted himself to the entire law, and he was completely obedient to it. From his sinless conception to his holy birth, all the way through to his sacrificial death. Every jot, every tittle of the law he kept, not only in action, but in thought and in word as well. And our Lord, having kept the law fully and perfectly, he offered that active, full obedience to the Father for us poor sinners. Everything he did for you and for me and for Mary. And at the same time that he led that perfectly obedient life, he also bore our sins, every single one of our sins, no matter how great, and no matter how small, and he paid everything we owe. The devil and the world and our sinful nature have had their pound of flesh from him. It's all been paid. And what we would do to others is what Jesus did, not to us, but for us. Though he was of one substance with the Father, he came down to our level. Though he was with the Father from all eternity, he lowered himself to where we all are, and he entered time and space. Though he had no sin, he allowed himself to be treated just like any other sinner. In fact, like every sinner and all sinners deserve. He had rocks thrown at him. He was diminished by what people said of him. They found fault with him. None of it real, all of it imagined, just to bring him down. I've heard it said that those who start by tearing down statues will end by destroying real people. But it happened to Jesus first. He was crucified for you and for me. He was cut down to size and put in your place, right there on the cross, for you, for me, and for Mary. And why did he do it? Not because we're so great, not because we're so beautiful or so rich or so powerful or deserving of honor, but he did it for us just as he did it for Mary. He exalts those of humble estate. He fills the hungry with good things. He helps his servant Israel. So it is a good thing for us to be humbled. It is a good thing for us to be hungry. It is a good thing for us to be poor so that we can see our need for him. Truly, he who is mighty has done great things for us. And now we can join Mary in singing her Magnificat. Our souls have reason to magnify the Lord. We look to her Son, crucified and risen, and we call him God, our Savior. What is left for us to do? All is paid. All is covered. None of our sins are counted against us, which means that all is now praise. Jesus, not Mary, has conquered death. Jesus, not Mary, will receive our souls in death. Jesus, not Mary, will make us alive forever with him. Through him, we have received adoption as sons, the gift of the Spirit, and the privilege of praying to our Father in heaven. Through him, we are heirs and not slaves. And yet it is still good and right for us to honor and respect Mary. She is, after all, the mother of God, our Savior. From her, he received his human nature and became like us to redeem us. And that would be enough. But there is more. Mary also heard the word of God and kept it. She was the very first one to believe that her son would be the Savior. You could say that she is the first New Testament Christian. And for that, we call her blessed. She cradled the Savior in her lap. She sought him in the temple. She turned to him for help at the wedding in Cana. She wept and marveled at his death. She rejoiced in his resurrection. We would do well to do the same. It says in Luke chapter 2 twice that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured up all these things about her son, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. And she pondered them in her heart. Let us do the same. Let us treasure all these things about her son, and let us ponder him in our hearts. And let us, with Mary, hear the word of God, the good news of your Savior, Mary's Son, God in human flesh. Let us hear that word, believe it, and keep it forever. In Jesus' name, amen.